This parasha begins with a very exciting opening. Vayhi b'shalach paro esa'om. Paro sent Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, v'anochem alekecher es plishim kekorevu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not take them through the short way, because it's too close to Mitzrayim, ki'om alekim pe'anochem ma'om v'ro'isa mulchoma v'shav Mitzrayim. Perhaps they'll get fear, and perhaps they'll be wanting to go back to Mitzrayim, and will not go into Eretz Yisrael. V'yavsei v'lekim esa'om derech v'midbo yamsuf v'chamushim olu b'nei yisomem eretz Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them round the midbar towards the yamsuf, and v'chamushim olu b'nei yisomem eretz Mitzrayim. V'chamushim, according to most pshatim, it means ein chamushim elam mezoyonim, says Rashi, they were armed. So Klal Yisrael were armed as they left Mitzrayim. V'yikach Moshe es atzmo yisayisef imoy. Moshe took the atzmo yisayisef with him. Ki hashpeah hashpeahs bnei Yisrael lemo, because he promised Klal Yisrael promised him, poka yipkoi delekim eschem, made them swear, valisem es atzmoisem yizeh itchem, he made them swear that when they leave Mitzrayim, he will, that's how the Sefer Bereishis ends, that they will take his bones out with them. Okay, so let's go through these pesukim and understand the theme over here. The theme is very simple. We are setting the stage over here for a major event. Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. The parasha describes to us what position they left Mitzrayim. So left Mitzrayim, they were sent out. Fine. So we now know how they left Mitzrayim. Then the pasuk describes their route. They left Mitzrayim to go where? So the route was to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the parasha describes why they didn't take the straightforward route. Also, so again, we talked about how they left and the route they're going to be taking. The third thing the parasha describes is what position they were militarily. Is that correct word? Yes? Did they have the correct arms? Did they have the correct weapons? Were they in a position to fight any war that will come their way? And the pasuk says, yes, they were. So all these things make sense. Where they were going from, where they were going to, the route they were going, and how they were positioned. Then the next pasuk talks about something which is seemingly totally irrelevant. The pasuk says, Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him, ki hashpeah hashpeah bnei Yisrael lemo, because he made a shavua, etc., saying that do not leave Mitzrayim without me. So Moshe Rabbeinu took Yosef's bones with him. Why is that so important? Why is that such a major factor in the very essence of finding ourselves with GPS? Where are we positioned in history? Where are we positioned militarily? Where are we positioned with regards to where we're going and where we're leaving? What's going on over here? Oh, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef with him. Why is that such a fundamental that Apostle puts that in at this particular stage where we're really putting down the map of our position that we were in at that particular time? It's a very, very simple kasha, and it's something that should occur to one as one's working through this pesukim. These pesukim are really the fundamentals, and it seems to be that this pasuk is seemingly irrelevant, seemingly not that important. So the Brisker Rav explains that v'chamushim olu bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim means they were armed, they had weapons. Says the Brisker Rav, there's smichus haparshis over here. There's a connection between this pasuk that describes that they were armed to the next pasuk that talks about Moshe taking out atzmei Yosef imoy. In other words, this pasuk talking about the bones of Yosef is the explanation of what the previous pasuk meant by the fact that they were armed. What arms did they have? M16s, Kalashnikovs. What did they have? They had the atzmei Yosef. In other words, this pasuk of the Atzmei Yosef describes the weapons that they went out with. They didn't go out with hand grenades or rocket launchers. They went out with Atzmei Yosef. That was their weapon. Fine. So therefore the pasuk is less irrelevant now. It's more relevant because the pasuk explains how they were armed. But again, one's got to ask ourselves then, what's Peshat in this weapon? How was Yosef's Atzmei Yosef? How was that so fundamental? How was that so important to be considered the weapon that Klal Yisrael took out with them, leaving Mitzrayim? They went out with the Maisa, they went out with Moshe Rabbeinu, they went out with Aaron HaKoyen, they went out with Tzaddikim, they went out with Rosh Hashvatim, big people. They went out with the Rabbeinu Shloinen, they went out with Anani HaKovah, they went out with Amud HaEish. So what's it so important that they had this Atzmei Yosef Imoy? the Medrash brings down that Bishas Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a vikuach, there was a little fight over here between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Yamsuf. The Pasuk says, the Alkut brings it down, on a Pasuk Hayom Rav Yonos, or no, it's Hayom Rav Yonos in Halel, Hayom Rav Yonos. The sea saw, okay, the sea, comma, with S-E-A, the sea saw, right, Vayonos, and it ran off. Now he says, Ma Rav, what did the sea see, yes, that it made it run away? So he says it saw the Aron of Yosef, it saw the Aron of Yosef. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yonos mipnei hanes. Yonos ran away because of the fact that we have the nes of running away somewhere else. Dichsev vayonos vayotza hachutzo. That Yosef ran away outside and he left his coat in the hands of Eishes Potiphar. Ad kan divrei hamedrash. That's the end of the medrash. What's going on over here? What's going on? What's Peshat that the seed didn't want to split, and then it saw the honor of Yosef, and it says Vayonos by Yosef, and it says Vayonos by the sea, and if the sea ran away and split just because it saw our own initial Yosef? Wasn't there any other fantastic people there who were standing alive who could have made the sea split? Why Dafka our own initial Yosef? And what's this Vayonos by Yonos? What's this Gezeres Shava over here? Even more of a pellet is that it says in the Medrash, the Medrash says, Hayom Rav Yonos, what did the sea see and ran away? It saw Brisa Rebbe Shmuel Rav. It saw the Brisa of Rebbe Shmuel. What's the Brisa of Rebbe Shmuel? We say it every morning, Kavachemik, Zereshova, Binin Av, etc. He saw that Brisa. And that made it panic, and it ran away and it split. What's the Keshe? What's the Pshat over here? So Darkin Musa, Rabbi Yaakov Naiman says, a very, very powerful understanding over here, what the Vikuach was between Yosef and the sea. Says Yaakov Naiman, it was not pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the sea to split. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have told the sea to split, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs Teva, there would be no chance, chas v'chalila, that the sea would have any vikuach with Rabbeinu Shlomo. I don't want to split. Your mother, how dare you? It's not shaykh that the sea would stand up against Rabbeinu Shlomo. Elamai, what was going on over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you are in control right now of the sea. Tell this, you deal with it. You tell the sea to split. You, under your authority, the sea should split. Exert your authority, make it split. So the Yam says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, 1 second. You are following the Ratzon Hashem. Fine, fair enough. You are told to tell me to do something. I'm also following Ratzon Hashem. Hashem told me to carry on flowing. So why should I listen to you more than I should listen to Rabbeinu Shlomo? Now I'm doing Ratzon Hashem, you're doing Ratzon Hashem. We both have a job here to do. I'm carrying on my job as I was told. And the sea did not want to split. What happened then? It saw the Aron Yishal Yosef. It saw the Aron of Yosef. And when it saw that, it changed his mind. And the sea understood that he has no choice but to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he see? Says the Darkei Musa, a malach, or the sea that controls the sea, a malach, a malach has no bechira. A malach has no choice but to listen to Ratzon Hashem. A malach doesn't have a choice in the matter. A malach follows Ratzon Hashem because he's programmed to do that. And therefore the sea is saying, I'm programmed to follow Ratzon Hashem. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't think he understands something. Do you know what a tzaddik is? I want to show you something. Do you see this? This is Yosef. You see this Oren of Yosef? Do you know what this Oren did? This was somebody following Ratzon Hashem, not because he was programmed to follow Ratzon Hashem, but because he had a Nisayon, and with his own strength, with his commitment to following Ratzon Hashem, through his terribly difficult Nisayonos, he was able to overcome them and still follow Ratzon Hashem. And this is something, says Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, can never ever accomplish. You can never understand what it means to have a Nisayon, and you can never understand what it means to overcome a Nisayon and still follow Ratzon Hashem through every hardship. But a tzaddik is able to do that. A tzaddik is able to fight his nisyonos and come through with absolute commitment to following Ratzon Hashem, and that is why a tzaddik is stronger than you see. You, the sea, follows Ratzon Hashem without any nisyonos. A tzaddik follows through with nisyonos. And therefore I, who says Moshe Ben, I'm a tzaddik. No place here for humility. I've overcome the strangeness too, and therefore I am in a stronger position than you, and therefore you've got to listen to me. I am a tzaddik. I am a Talmud Chochem. I am somebody who's a Yirei Shemaim. I'm an Eved Hashem. Therefore, you see, I have a lower level of following Ratzon Hashem than I am, and therefore you have to split. And that's why it's split. In other words, the vikuach over here between Moshe Rabbeinu and the sea was, what is stronger? Nature that is following the dictates of a Kodesh Baruch Hu for Ma'aseh Bereishis, and following through with Ratzon Hashem that's been programmed into the Bria from that time, or a tzaddik who has a koyach to overcome an Nesoyin and follow a Kodesh Baruch Hu even through Nisoyinus. Here is a yesod, that a person who is able to control his tivus, a person who is able to overcome his desire, is stronger than nature itself, has a power to dictate what nature should be. Tzadik goizeh v'kodesh baruch hu mekayim. There are times when chas v'chalila a person is sick, a person needs a yeshua, he goes to a tzadik and the tzadik is goizeh. He can break the nature. He can have it. He can cure cancer and the doctors can't cure it. Why? Because a koyach of a tzadik is such that he is able to dictate and control nature because he is stronger than nature. He has a koyach because he is following through Ratzon Hashem with all the nisyonos, and a malach has no nisyonos, and therefore he's strong enough to overcome him. The first lesson that the parasha is telling us is telling us that Atzmei Yisrael is our weapon. The weapon to us to survive in this world, the weapon for us to survive through a wilderness, through a midbar, through nisyonos, is to know and to understand that ultimately, if we curb our koichus, and we make sure that we focus on Ratzon Hashem in any nisoyin, that we are stronger than nature itself. Nothing can overcome us. Ein oibul vadi, nothing can overcome us. And that is a weapon we have, and we use, and we have used, and we will use, in order to overcome any kind of enemy all the way through Doiris. That is why this particular pasuk, Atzmeis Yosef Imoy, is not trivial. It's not something just a detail. It is a fact that is helping us through this world to survive as Yidden. To arrive at our destination, the Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo, is to understand and appreciate that this is a koyach that we have of Atzmeis Yosef. The koyach to overcome and the soil makes us stronger than nature. Onov does not mean
by himself. Why did he need us? No, he, like you said himself, he had his own nisyonos. Why wasn't that enough for the sea? Why didn't he need us to test the show his
that the nisyon of Yosef Hatzadik, the nisyon of Yosef Hatzadik was such that was one of the most classic, obvious nisyonos that was shaykh in the Olam Ha'anushi. A person be sent down to Mitzrayim with no family bechlar, and to overcome the nisyon day after day, the pitoy hayetzer, that nisyon is an all time big nisyon. That represents the koyach of a tzaddik to overcome his nisyonos. Even though he's thrown in jail, even though he went through all these terrible yisurim through this, he never regretted it. That was the ultimate koyach of a nisyon. Who knows if Moshe Rabbeinu went through the same nisyonos? Doubt it. I mean, the pasuk says a person who goes through nisyonos said, "Do you have the same nisyon as Yosef HaTzadik?" Yosef HaTzadik was the ultimate paradigm of somebody who stood up against his title. Okay. Says of Yaakov Naiman, and that's Peshat as well, when the Brisa says, Ma Yom Ra, what did the sea see? It saw Brisa of Rebbe Yishmael. What's the Brisa of Rebbe Yishmael? Brisa of Yishmael, one of the 13 ways that the Torah is darshaned is through a Kal V'Chema. Yeah, you don't know Kal V'Chema. What's a Kal V'Chema? The classic Kal V'Chema was learnt from Chanani Mishal V'Azariah, who threw themselves into a kipshon ha'esh, to throw themselves into fire, rather than to do anything that even looked like avodah zarah. Wasn't avodah zarah, even looked like avodah zarah. Says the Gemara, talks about where did they get this kal v'chaim from, where did they learn this lesson from. So they learned a kal v'chaim from the tzfardea, from the frogs. If the tzfardea were not commanded to go into the oven, but they went into the oven, yeah, because of kiddush Hashem, kol shekein us, we have a chiyuv, for the sake of Epsik Hashem, we commanded, of course we've got to put ourselves into the fire. It's a Kal V'Chema. What's Peshat in this Kal V'Chema? The Kal V'Chema means the difference between the sea and the person, the sea and the Talmud Chochem, the sea and the Yirei Shemayim, is that the sea follows through without thinking. He's commanded to do something, he doesn't think, he just carries through. A tzaddik looks what Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and darshan through his own seichel something that Kodesh Baruch Hu did not tell him directly. He uses his own seichel to understand, even if it's not that pleasant or comfortable, he's happy to learn through a Kal Vachomer and logically reach a conclusion, however painful it is, to follow Ratzon Hashem. The seed doesn't do that. The seed just follows through, doesn't make Kal Vachomer. And therefore the Brisa Rabbi Shmuel, the Kal Vachomer that is learned from there, that Chanalia b'Shalva Azariah were willing to draw this conclusion, even though they could have perhaps ignored it or changed it in any other way, no, they followed it through, is a koyach of a person, a koyach of every individual to fight and use his seichel to overcome the seeingness that a regular malach or the nature does not have. So the first pshat over here is, what was the importance of Atzmeis Yesev? It was the importance of the lesson of how strong a tzaddik is. That's one pshat. The Chaskel Shinever, the Divrei Yecheskel says something else very, very similar, but even stronger on this particular vort. He says, the Posuk talks about Yosef on that fateful day when Yosef came to work by Eishes Potiphar. The Posuk says, Vayhi kayoim hazeh, it was on that day, Vayovei habaisoi lasis malachti, he came to the house to do his work. Okay? That's a Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Rav Shmuel, there's Machlokes Rav Shmuel. Chad Omar lasis malachti mamash, one of them said he came to do his malacha, he came to clean the windows, polish the silver, whatever it was. V'chad oma lasis shirochov nichnas. He came in there in order to do his wishes. Lasis shirochov nichnas. He came there to dozenus. He had planned that day to dozenus. That's machlekes Rav and Shmuel. So lechira, it's a very, very difficult thing to understand. Why does that man de oma explain the Pasuk in a way that makes Yosef look bad? If Yosef came to do the malacha, if Yosef came to the house struck by his Yetzer Hara to do Znus that day, why darshan that way if it's just as well why can darshan the other way? He came to do his work as an innocent bystander. Why is the Pasuk twisted into explaining according to this Mishmanda Omar that no, he came actually to do an Avera? What made him say that? Why did he say that about Yosef HaTzadik? Even more than that, the Gemara says in Sukkot Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, B'chol Yoyim Yitzro Shel Odom Miskabe Olof. Every day, the Yitzhar of a person wishes to overcome him. Umevakesh Lahamisoyim, wishes to kill him, as it were, spiritually. Ve'il Melei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizrei, and were it not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would help that person, Loi Yuchol Loi, he would not be able to win over the Yitzhar. In other words, the Yitzhar is stronger than an individual. How does a tzaddik win? HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. How does a Rasha lose? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not help him. So the obvious question is, why does a tzaddik get schar for that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him? And why does a Rasha get punished for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't help him? Where's the difference between a tzaddik and a Rasha? Any difference whether Hashem helped or not? If you don't blame on the tzaddik or the Rasha, blame on the Rabbeinu Shalom Kavi Yochel. What's Peshat? Says the Divrei Yecheskel, listen to this Rabbi Yisai. He says that a pshat in a tzaddik is not somebody who does not have a nisyonus. A tzaddik is not somebody who just goes through life completely engrossed in Ratzon Hashem and he is not tossed from one side or the other. Adarab, on the contrary, because the godel mechaver yitzrei godel hemenah, the more a person grows, the bigger the yetzer hara is. And the yetzer hara of a tzaddik is huge compared to the rasha. Why? If so, does a tzaddik have the koyach to overcome his yetzer hara? Because ultimately, that is his rotzen. The power that gives a person the strength to overcome his yetzer hara is his dedication to doing what's right. And with that will, that rotzen to overcome his yetzer hara, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him all the tools to be able to do that. And if Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't, it wouldn't happen. And therefore the tool that makes a Talmud Chacham great or Tzaddik great is not pshat that he has a very easygoing personality, he doesn't have any conflict. He has conflict. He has difficult conflict. But the rotzen, to do rotzen Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes on board, as it were, and it helps him, and he gives him schar for that as well. That is a tzaddik. And Yosef HaTzaddik came to the house with a terrible, terrible nisoyim. And his mamish, his yetzer was fighting, but he, deep down, he didn't want it to go through. He wanted to fight it, but he couldn't. He came to do his job. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him and gave him every tool he possibly needed in order to be able to fight the Yetzer Hara. Masha Inkein Rasha is somebody who doesn't mind at all falling in. In fact, he can see all his friends falling in, going through the same nisyonos and ending up bloodied by the war of the Yetzer Hara, and they'll go exactly the same thing. What is the example of a Yetzer Hara? What is a prime example of how you can see a Yetzer Hara in motion in front of your eyes? So the Shin of Arav, there's a Pasuk in Yeshayah. The Pasuk says in Yeshayah in Zayin Chof, for HaRishoyim Kiyam Nigrash. The Rishoyim are like a stormy sea. Ki HaSheket LeYuchol, because it can't keep quiet. VeYigrushu Meimav Refesh V'Tit, and it stirs up all the dirt. Says Rashi, VaRishoyim She'ein Noisnim Leiv Loshuv Kiyam Nigrash. Rishoyim are like, or those who don't turn back like the sea. What's an example of a sea? You go to the, stand on the promenade, and you see sometimes huge waves coming roaring towards land, right? And you see, there could be something 10 meters high. I'm not talking about extreme example of a tsunami, but I'm talking about in regular case, huge waves coming. And you think, wow, this wave is for sure going to make it right over the beach onto the dry land. And what happens as it goes forward, it crashes into the land, and it gets stopped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it gets stopped by the sand. It gets stopped. And then it sort of like dies down, and it very, very meekly pulls back into the sea again. Right? What does it wave behind him do, this sea? What does it wave behind him do? Exactly the same thing. It goes, makes this big noise, attempt to overtake the land. Nothing happens. The Kodesh Baruch Hu stops it, and it very meekly goes past. And this happens again and again and again. That is the exact moshel of Rishoyim. Rishoyim want the Yetzer Hara, and they want to take over the world, want to destroy the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they come in and want to completely conquer with the Yetzer Hara of the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at some stage stops them. And he stops them in their path through nature, through his koiches, and they meekly fall back in a state of inish, in a state of embarrassment. And then the Rashi behind them does exactly the same thing. This was, says the Pasuk, this is the example of a Rasha. And that's what's going on over here. Yosef HaTzadik was exactly the exact opposite to the sea. Yosef HaTzadik was one where HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps. He has a Yetzer Hara that he is trying to control himself. And he sees the importance of doing that. And his rotzen is to attempt to pull back. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him. The sea is such as an example of the Rasha going forward, crashing ahead. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulling him back. That is where, in this case, Klal Yisrael had to see that. They had to see the fight between Yosef and the sea, where Tzaddik works one way, and the Rasha works in the other way, and the Tzaddik wins. That is why they had to see Dafka, the Atzmeis Yosef, to see the force of good against bad, with their own eyes, to see the example of a Tzaddik fighting against the principles of a Rasha, and a Tzaddik winning. That was Atzmeis Yosef, that was Chamush, and that was a weapon that's supposed to last them for life. There's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Ksav Sofer over here. I said it in previous years, but I have to say it over again, because I believe this is this is one of the most amazing Ksav Sofers. This is Ksav Sofer Parashas B'Shalach and Divrei Masel Isha B'Yalkut. Hayom Rav Yonos. Listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. If you've ever heard a beautiful Ksav Sofer, this is it. Okay? Hayom Rav Yonos. Ma Ra Aroni Shel Yosef. Yeah? You saw what's the orange of Yosef doing over here? What's the idea behind this? Listen to this, Gevaldik. So you ask a kasha like this. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to stand up by the sea and say, Yatzvu Ru Hashem, Rabbi Yisai, hold it, stand back, don't do any fights, leave Hashem to it, let Hashem fight for us. Why did he have to do that? Klal Yisrael went out with arms, they went out with weapons. Yeah? And you know what? And they did quite well with their weapons. Horiah, later on, with Amalek, a fierce army, they smashed them. They beat them to a pulp. So why over here was it such that we needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a nes of Kriyas Yam Suf rather than Klal Yisrael just doing a Piyah Derech HaTeva, going along and fighting a natural war? Good kasha. Ask Ksav Sofer. Because by doing so would be ultimately a lack of Derech Eretz. These Mitzrayim, however bad they were, however they tormented us and tortured us, ultimately gave us a home when we needed a home. To stand up against them and to pull out our swords and stab them, even though it was like a home at Auschwitz. But that's not Derech Eretz. You don't stand up against those people who have served you, those people who have helped you in any minutest way. You don't do that. That's not the right thing to do. And therefore, in this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hisyatsur, don't fight. Don't fight. What's the other option? So what's the option? Don't fight. So what should we do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what I'll do? I will change. Bria Shmayim V'aretz. I will change nature. I don't mind making a tremendous miracle. I don't mind doing that. I don't mind completely changing around the order of the world, but just that you should not stand up and fight against those people and show a lack of Derech Eretz, show a lack of a Karas HaToiv. That's Gevaldik. Where did the sea where do we learn this from? Where did the sea learn this from? The sea says, one second, this is crazy. Don't be, this is ridiculous. One choice is, choice A is to go out and fight, correct? Choice B is that we've got to change around the whole world order and do a miracle. You know what? Go and fight! Go and fight! Hey, why should we have this Derech Eretz business? What's this Derech Eretz business? Don't be crazy. I'm not splitting. Go and fight! And the sea didn't want to split. What did the sea see? Yeah? What did it see? It saw Aron Shel Yosef. What's Aron Shel Yosef? Yosef stood up against Ashes Potiphar, and Ashes Potiphar wanted to do an Avera with him. What did Yosef do? He ran away. But what did he do? He left his coat in her arms. If he would have just grabbed it back and ran off, she would have had absolutely no evidence whatsoever what happened. But he didn't do it. You know why he didn't do it? Because that is HaKoros HaToiv. That is Derech Eretz. You don't go to the woman who is looking after you for those years and grab back something. That's lack of Derech Eretz. Yosef was willing, for a tiny lack of Derech Eretz, to allow the evidence to be planted against him, to suffer years and years, just in order that he should not lack Derech Eretz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if Klal Yisrael represent that, if Aron Shel Yosef, if Yosef can do and show how important Derech Eretz is, then we have no choice but to stop and change world Bria in order to change around nature, and the sea now will have to split. We cannot expect the family of Yosef to go now and fight against Mitzrayim. And therefore, don't go and make war, let the sea split. Isn't that gewaldig? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing, for the sake of Derech Eretz, to change world order. Where do we learn it from? We learn it from Yosef. A lack of Derech Eretz cannot be done. It's not Shaykh. And therefore we only have no choice but for the sea to split. And that is Peshat. By the way, it says Ksav Sofer, that's Peshat. When it Parashat Yisro, it says, Ma Shmua Shama Oba. What did Yisro hear that was so important? He said he saw Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. Why dafka those two things? He says, Kriyas Yamsuf, why did the sea split? Maybe the sea split because Klal Yisrael couldn't fight. Right? So he said, no, they could fight. What happens later on? We have Melchemes Amalek, that they can fight. So he makes a cheshbon. If they can fight, why didn't they fight by Kriyas Yamsuf? Must be difference between Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf. What's the difference? Ah, Amalek did no good to them, Kriyas Yamsuf and Mitzrayim did. Must be that Klal Yisrael had the Derech Eretz of appreciation of Karas HaToiv, and that stopped them fighting, and that's what created the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. If Klal Yisrael have that kind of Derech Eretz and have a Karas HaToiv, then I'm sure they have the same occurrence of talk to Moshe Rabbeinu for what he's done, and therefore I can go to the Midbar and they'll respect me for the sake of the occurrence of Toiv that they have for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because otherwise, who knows how they'll receive me? Who knows whether I'll be considered anything there? And therefore he came because he saw the occurrence of Toiv Klal Yisrael has. Atzmos Yosef. Atzmos Yosef is a chamushim, is a weapon we have over here. The weapon over here is what? The weapon of occurrence of Toiv, understanding how important good midas are. That even if terrible things will happen because of the lack of a Karas HaToiv, we don't follow through with our bad midas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to change world nature to help us. But that's not in our derech. It's not our hishtadlus in any way to have a lack of derech eretz that's going to create, chas v'chalila, a result. That's not what we need. I just want to carry on, just one last vort. Vayikach Moshe es atzmi seis imo ki hashpeya hishpeya. Moshe Rabbeinu is praised in the Chazal that he was the one who took out the bones It was a tremendous chus of Moshe Rabbeinu, and because Yosef buried Yaakov, Moshe dealt with the bones of Yosef, and because he dealt with the bones of Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with Moshe Rabbeinu's death, etc. It's a tremendous chus. If we're talking about the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Moshe, Chacham Levi Kach Mitzvah, that he was a wise man to grab this mitzvah of taking Yosef out, why does the Pasuk say, Ki Hashbeya Hishbeya Es Bnei Yisrael Leimo? Klal Yisrael didn't deal with this mitzvah, Moshe Rabbeinu did, and he took the bones of Yosef out, even though he, by doing so, he didn't have the wealth of leaving the plan, taking out the wealth of Mitzrayim. They're all taking out the Kesev and Zav, the gold and silver out of Mitzrayim. And he was busy running around trying to deal with Yosef's bones, right? Which is a big schus. Then the Apostle, Ki Hashbeya Hishbeya, because Yosef made the Shavuah. Because he made the Shavuah, Es Bnei Yisrael Lemo. By doing so, it seems to minimize the fantastic thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Just say, he took out the bones. What's Ki Hashbeya Hishbeya? Why is the Apostle minimize what Moshe Rabbeinu did? Because he didn't have a choice, it seems. Because he made a Shavuah, number one. Number two, if you look at the Pasuk, it says, Yikach Mois Ash Mesei Seif, Imoi. Imoi means with him, very close to him. Later on in the Pasuk, it says, Pokoid Yifkoid Elekim Eschem. Yosef said, Eschem, it should be with you, not close by. So what mean, Moshe took Yosef's bones with him, very close, yeah? And because he made a Shavuah, Yosef said later on, that when Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, it should take them with him, not close. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu do more than Yosef instructed him to take his bones close by? That's to sort of make a connection, a strong connection with Yosef's bones. What's the idea behind that? The Zayin HaTorah asks that. And when Moshe answers the first kasha of this Rabbi, so I'll give you Derech Moshel, very, very brief. Imagine, on a dark, slippery night, there's a seven seater car, a mortgage broker, and his wife and his five kids are sitting in the back of the car, and they're driving along a slippery road, and on the twist of the road, lightning strikes, and a man loses control, goes over the embankment, and his car is on the precipice, absolutely mamish, a second away from death, and he's screaming and he's telling the kids not to move, and down below, there's 500 meters down below, there's a huge ravine with rocks, and that's it, he's a second away from death. A person sees that from the street, a regular man sees it from the street, and he runs over, and with incredible mysterious nefesh, incredible self-sacrifice, he's able to very, very, very carefully take each one of the members of the family out, and just as he does that, the car topples over and blows up. And he saved the family from this explosion, and he saved their lives, all of their lives. The ambulance comes, and they're in shock, and he visits them in the hospital, and he looks after them. And this insurance broker can't do anything. The curse of Tov is just enormous. What do you say to a person who saves your whole family's life? So one day, you know, they're talking about celebrating this tremendous miracle, and they want to make a Suddas Hodah. At the end of the Suddas Hodah, he brings all his friends in, and he says to the man who saved his life, he says to him, Yankel, what can I possibly do for you? What can I do? You saved my whole family's life. So Yankel says to him, I'll be honest with you, you're a mortgage broker, and I need a mortgage, and I'm having a problem with your bank. Is there any possibility you could put in a good word for me that I can get my mortgage? Not a big mortgage, $50,000. I can prove that I'm earning this kind of income. It shouldn't be a problem. I'm having a bit of a problem with that. Do you mind putting that through for me? Putting that through for you with pleasure. No. I wanted to promise, make a shvuah, that you're going to put it through with me. You need to make a shvuah for such a thing. It's ridiculous. You saved my life. You saved my whole family's life. I've got to promise you. It's the least I can do. Says the Pasuk over, listen to this, says Rav Moshe, and listen to the words it's coming from, because it's so perfect to the one who said it. Rav Moshe said, Moshe Rabbeinu learnt from Yosef a tremendous lesson in leadership. The lesson is that although Hakaras HaToiv is such, like we described in Ksav Sofer, how much a person is mechuyev to give Hakaras HaToiv, and a person is obligated to do anything he can to make sure that it's not kofi toiv in any way, but the person who is a recipient, the person who did the action that deserves that Hakaras HaToiv, is not allowed to expect that Hakaras HaToiv in any way. He is going to look at that as the least I can do. It's my obligation, it's my chiyuv, I don't deserve anything. It's not me. Yosef saved his brothers. Yosef was abused by the brothers who he saved. Yosef took them into Mitzrayim with Mesiras Nefesh. He turned around the whole Mitzrayim and his brothers would feel comfortable. And he fed them, and he clothed them, and he housed them, and he looked after them. Right? And what can the positive brothers do back for him? So he makes a shavua, hashbeish veya, promise me that when you leave Mitzrayim, you take my bones out. What do you mean? Everyone's composer is going out of Mitzrayim. All the other brothers' bones are going out of Mitzrayim. We can leave you behind, though, and make a shavua. Why should he make such a shavua? Only because he feels it's his duty. And he didn't feel that he deserves any great thanks for it. He doesn't deserve any better treatment because of it. That is what I have to do. That is another. Moshe Rabbeinu, vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imoy. Moshe Rabbeinu took the lesson of Yosef with him and held that lesson close. That a leader should not expect thanks. A leader is doing what he has to do. What's the proof that he doesn't have to expect thanks? Ki hashbeah hishbeah. Yosef had to promise them. They had to promise him. They had to promise Yosef that they're going to take his bones out. And he didn't take it for granted that the curse of toiv they owe him should be enough that they should take his bones out. That was a lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu. So over here, Rabbi Yisrael, there's plenty more to say. But the pasuk over here, when you're talking about Atzmus Yosef Imoy, it's not a trivial detail. This is not something that is absolutely unnecessary to the big plan of the matter. According to the Beis Halevi, this is the Chamushim. This is the weapon that Klal Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim, is Atzmus Yosef. What is the weapon? What is this that's going to give us survival for Netzach Netzachim? Number one, it's a Darkei Musar. That a person who fights over his Nisyonus, a person who has a Koyach to do the right thing, is stronger than nature. He has the strength to overcome nature. Number one. Number two, the Koyach of a person is to understand what Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, even when it's not commanded. And that gives him strength also over natural events. That's a Darkei Musar. The second Peshat is the Shin of Harav. That a Talmud Chacham is not somebody, a Tzaddik is not somebody who doesn't have Nisyonus. It's somebody who has Nisyonus. But he learns from them and has a Rotzen to really fight it, and therefore in that case a Kodesh Baruch Hu will always help him. Not compared to a Rosh, as compared to a Si, who doesn't bother looking at the results of where his Taiva can pull him, where he sees his other friends and he's quite willing to go along and do the same terrible things and has no Rotzen to be saved. So this is the second lesson. The third lesson is the appreciation of how important Midas Tovus are, how important Koras HaTov is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to make the Ness of Kriyas Yamsuf just in order that Klal Yisrael should not have a minimum amount of lack of Derech Eretz by fighting against those people who saved them, even though they persecuted them all through these years. And finally, the idea of Atzmi Yosef Ima Ki Hashpeya Hishpeya, that even though somebody is owed HaKoros HaToiv, and the debt of HaKoros HaToiv is huge, the person who did the Maisa, the person who is the leader, the person who does deserve HaKoros HaToiv should not at all seek out the HaKoros HaToiv and expect the HaKoros HaToiv, rather you should have a novel like Moshe Rabbeinu, who learnt it from Yosef, Ki Hashpeya Hishpeya, where he expected absolutely nothing.